Kaya Talk on Kaya 959. On the street, on the air.
Our basic problem is that while growth creates jobs, inflation does not. Not only does this fatally challenge the belief many hold in the existence of a usable Phillips curve, it also limits what macroeconomic policy can achieve in terms of job creation. As we have noted many times in the past, the solutions to our unemployment problem lie well outside the realm of monetary policy. And in fact, the failure to employ those solutions directly limits the positive contribution monetary policy can play.
That voice right there is of the South African Reserve Bank Governor, Lesetša Ganyago. He was giving an update in a speech presented at the Wit School of Governance and addressing a key question there that has been posed to him many a times as to, hold on, South Africa faces two challenges, right? Unemployment and, of course, rising inflation. So why is it that the SARB is not using its tools and monetary policy to address the concerns of unemployment? And as he's highlighted there, perhaps not too favorable. We do need to make sure that we are aware of the risks in South Africa's economy, but monetary policy is there to solicit solutions to specific risk challenges that they've been mandated to. To give us some perspective in terms of the speech and some of the comments that have been shared by the governor today, we join on the line by Neil Coleman, Senior Policy Specialist and one of the founding co-directors of IEJ. Neil, thank you so much for your time this evening.
Good evening.
A delight to speak to you. And I guess first things first, let's perhaps pick up on the sentiment and the tone that came through from that clip we just played a moment ago.
I'm battling to hear you.
Oh, Neil, hopefully you can hear us a lot clearly now.
Yeah, that's better, yeah.
Fantastic. First things first, I'll keep it simple, just your response to the overview and the insight that was shared by the governor today in his speech.
You know, a lot of what the governor said is highly technical, and we've got to avoid, producing what I call econobabble, which is highly technical economic speak, mm-hmm. to address issues which affect the person in the street. So, you know, we need to make the debate. We need to make the debate transparent and clear. And the real issue is to ask, you know, in the context of our current economic crisis, what is the role of monetary policy? And very often the Reserve Bank and the governor will argue that, well, monetary policy can do very little, they've only got limited tools, etc. But we've seen throughout the world that in the global financial crisis, in the COVID crisis, many societies and economies look to their central banks to play a very activist role, mm-hmm. whether it's through quantitative easing, pumping money into the economy, lowering interest rates,
gotcha.
But also a range of other tools to regulate banks, to ensure that there's productive investment in the economy, and so on and so forth. So there's a very well-known expert who said, you know, if you only have one tool, if you only have a hammer, then everything looks like a nail. And so if you think that the only tool the Reserve Bank has is to use interest rates, then it uses that in an inappropriate way. And so the question is, you know, with the global crisis, with imported food prices and imported fuel inflation, how does raising interest rates address that?
Gotcha.
And the broader question which the governor was talking to,
gotcha.
Was what the relationship is between inflation and employment. And I think that we need to avoid being too complacent that we have this very well-run central bank, which is on course with the policies. But meanwhile, we have the highest unemployment in the world, the highest level of inequality and massive poverty. We need to relook at monetary policy and open up a debate in society as to what a different type of monetary policy can achieve.
Mm.
And I think the lecture today tended to rule out, you know, other approaches to monetary policy, which is unfortunate.
Got you. And that's a valid point, because I want us to get there, Neil. If you could educate us as South African consumers as to what other options are available to the SARB and the MPC, the levers that they can pull out to actually address and alleviate these economic challenges we face.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, he said, you know, and it's well known that macroeconomic policy is about coordination between monetary policy and fiscal policy instruments. So there are a range of instruments that the monetary policy authorities have, and there are a range of instruments which government, you know, through fiscal policy has. And it's about ensuring that these policies talk to each other. So, for example, let me give a concrete example. If you look at imported fuel and food inflation and profiteering by businesses, raising interest rates may actually only worsen the situation. So governments around the world have looked at, for example, putting price caps on fuel, have looked at windfall taxes to stop profiteering that is happening by companies. They've looked at price controls on basic foods to protect the sort of poorest households, and so on and so forth. So these are, you know, tools that can be used in combination with appropriate monetary policy tools. And one of the questions is, what is the mandate of the Reserve Bank? What is it trying to achieve? And the mandate currently is only one issue, and that is to achieve an inflation target of between 3% and 6%. Even with that mandate, you know, internationally, the Economist has commented that the Economist magazine that now central banks are looking at raising their inflation targets. In other words, accepting looser monetary policies because they don't want to induce an international recession. But our monetary policy seems to be very ideologically driven, with the governor recently having said that, in fact, we need to lower our inflation targets, which requires even higher interest rates and more contractionary policies. So there are other, you know, options that are available. So, for example, using differential interest rates, where you allow for interest rates, lower interest rates to small businesses, companies that are investing in productive activity, and so on. Things like quantitative easing. You know, there are a number of tools that have been used internationally that can do that. And then we've also had to look at the relationship between what the central bank does and what our commercial banks do.
Yes.
So the commercial banks charge 3.5% more than the repo rate in their lending practices, you know, which is obviously, you know, prohibitive in terms of people being able to invest and pay their mortgages, et cetera, et cetera. So these are all connected issues, really.
I'm glad that you mentioned that, because I guess it makes it more practical, right, for South African entrepreneurs as well as households. And as you say, the governor has, you know, stuck to his guns, maintaining that their mandate is to target inflation. And you've mentioned some of the levers that they can pull. But what would it take, I guess, for us to get there, where we can amend the mandate, where we are able to look at alternative options? And not only do we see monetary policy addressing these concerns, but that it continues to work hand in hand with fiscal policy too.
There are a lot of researchers and experts in the country, you know, who have looked at the development of our economy over the last 28 years, and who are saying that we need to revise the mandate of the Reserve Bank. You know, we often hear talk about the ownership of the Reserve Bank, but actually more important is the mandate of the Reserve Bank. And there are a number of central banks internationally, like the Federal Reserve in the U.S., that has dual mandates. So it targets both the stability of prices as well as employment and growth. So they always take into account the impact of their actions on employment. So in a country like South Africa, where the unemployment crisis is so massive, this should be the primary concern. And economists like Joseph Stiglitz, you know, the Nobel Prize winner, and a number of others have argued that a moderate level of inflation, no one is saying you must tolerate hyperinflation, you know, over 20%, but a moderate level of inflation around sort of between 10 and 15% can be tolerated if it's controlled and regulated, and at the same time, you know, you're through industrial policies and fiscal policies and so on, you're crowding in investment into productive activity. So the governor spoke about the fact that there are trade-offs in monetary policy, and he's correct. There are trade-offs, and it therefore means that if you target inflation at a too low a level, then high interest rates crowd out investment in the productive sector and in the economy.
A quick one though, Neil. Have there been effective studies that have been conducted to actually measure if all these levers had to be pulled, if all these alternatives had to be sought, what kind of impact it would currently have on South Africa's economy in terms of jobs as well as economic growth?
I mean, there have been studies, but I think there's a need for more studies. And you know, we're saying that the governor in his speech claims that in periods of low inflation, we also had a high employment. Now, that might be the case in certain periods, but it doesn't mean that low inflation caused growth in employment. It's what economists call it's a correlation, not a causation. Mm-hmm. So the two things happened at the same time, but it's also true that in periods of high interest rates and relatively low inflation, we've also had very high levels of unemployment. Mm-hmm. So the question is, what is the impact of the measures that you're taking on employment? The other question is, if you have dual targeting, dual mandates, for example, you target employment as well as inflation, you know, what does the international experience tell you in terms of the effectiveness of those sorts of policies as opposed to a very narrow inflation targeting sort of model, which was adopted starting with New Zealand at 2%? And the evidence seems to suggest that a sort of multiple targeting is much more effective. We only have to look at the U.S., where they have managed to bring down unemployment dramatically, in part through the actions of the Federal Reserve. So we're saying that there should be studies of that nature, not these sort of, I'm not saying it's propaganda, but it's a lot of rhetoric that comes from the Reserve Bank. There needs to be independent studies about the impact of these interventions on our economy and employment.
Got you. And I appreciate this. You know, you're challenging us to think wider, deeper, differently, and of course to challenge the status quo, to actually say, hold on, if the tools are there and if the tools have been proven to work, or their research actually suggests that they might be tangible in terms of outcomes, then we do need to consider them. I appreciate you educating us on this, Neil. Definitely we'll be posing different questions to the governor going forward, and hopefully we do solicit a deeper response from him too.
We're all learning, and there has to be an open public debate. I think that's what we're calling for.
Oh, for sure. Thanks again for your time, Neil. Really appreciate
Many
it.
Many thanks.
That's Neil Coleman, co-founder and a senior policy specialist at the Institute for Economic Justice.
Kaya Talk on Kaya 959, on the street, on the air.